give me questions, and then I say, well, I will answer them. And I try to pick scriptures that deal with this concept of wisdom. And so this is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's in Matthew 11, begin to 16th verse. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplace calling out to others, we played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved to be right by her works. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ and to know, Father, that your presence is right here with us. That your peace and love sustain us. And we want to breathe deep of that presence, Father. So be your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm serious, BK. If you want to answer any of these questions, you stand up and let me know. You start a lot of Sundays with, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Are there any scriptures that you do not like? I love this question. Because absolutely, there are scriptures that I struggle with, right? I have never, and I will not hide, that I do not like in the Old Testament, the times when God says, kill women and children and the animals in the town. I get, I have a degree in theology. I get the justification for those verses, but it doesn't make it any more palpable to who I am. And it certainly does not make it, I struggle to read that when you also read Christ saying, no longer live eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. When you hear Christ say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, it's really tough to connect those with those other scriptures. And so you might not have noticed, but over 3 years, how many times have I preached on any of them? Zero, right? There are also scriptures in the New Testament that I struggle with because I feel like people have abused them in a way to hurt other people. One of them is... The Apostle Paul writes, I do not permit a woman to hold authority over a man. One of our favorite verses, right, men? Actually, I don't think it's a great translation, and I finally found that some very modern translations are translating a little better. It says, I do not permit a wife to hold authority over a husband. I think that's a slightly better translation of the actual Greek. But regardless, that verse in and of itself has been used to oppress women throughout history. And what bothers me about that is when we look at Scripture, we really should look at the broadness of Scripture, not allow one verse to dictate how we treat other people. And so if you read the rest of Paul, Paul consistently in his letters, when he's naming people at the end, gives title of authority to women. So it's kind of intriguing that he calls women deaconesses, he calls one of them an apostle, which by Paul's own definition, he considers the first or the best position to have in the church, and yet people ignore all that to focus on that one statement. They also ignore the fact that Paul says, in Christ, there's no longer male nor female, this redemptive process that recognizes that the disparity that had existed is being taken away. And they use that one verse to oppress people instead of the whole of Scripture, which I find very freeing and very supportive of the idea of women in positions of authority and leadership in churches. If you want any more evidence for that, who are the first proclaimers of the gospel message? It's women. The first people to say he is risen are women in Scripture. And so we can't lose sight of that. There's one other scripture I really struggle with. Paul reminds slaves that if they are in slavery, to be settled in that position. And again, that has been used to justify some terrible, terrible acts within human history. And again, I would argue that that is not the goal of Scripture, that one verse is taking in all the verses that talk about freedom and being treating our brothers and sisters with great respect and us being the servants of all people. And it really bothers me that those verses have been misused throughout history. So yes, there are scriptures I struggle with, but taken as a whole, which is how I think we should handle scripture, I find scripture to be very empowering and freeing in our lives. And so I would never allow those few verses to dissuade me from the love and joy that I really do get out of scripture. And of course, I'm going to start a lot of Sundays with this is my favorite scripture, because if I don't like it, guess what? You're not hearing it on Sunday morning. The Bible tells us that if we wrong someone, we should go and confess to them. What if there's been a long time and your friend is unaware of the situation? Should you initiate it even though it might bring pain to the friend relationship? This is a great question, isn't it? Because I started to think about what if like a friend of mine from college called me up to share with me something they did in college that they shouldn't have done. How would I feel? Well, me being who I am, I think the first thing I'd think is, are you honestly remembering something from 26 years ago? So I think at the heart of the question goes the what is our goal behind this, right? Are we going to introduce pain to somebody else so we feel better? Or is this a legitimate concern that you have in the future? So if this is something the person's totally unaware of, I probably would not introduce it, because if you create pain just for your own conscience, seems a little selfish, doesn't it? However, if you think it's an important thing, and if your relationship is healthy enough, I think then it's okay to go to somebody. I think it can be healthy for both of you to hear that, let's face it, from many, many years ago. Anyone here never make a mistake from when they were 20-something? Like, you know, I banned all my college roommates from attending church. You know that, right? Because I'm afraid of the stories they might share. And then I think to myself, well, it's kind of ridiculous at this point in my life. You know, when I was 25, it seemed close. But at 46, I find my mistakes more funny than bad, right? It's my favorite part about family vacations is sharing all these stories we've hid from our parents for years and years. But now that my parents are 83, it's funny, right? When you realize your kid didn't die when they did something stupid at 16, now it's a little easier to laugh. But had I told my parents at 16 what I did, I would have died. So I would say check your heart on this issue. Is this about you trying to just feel better about yourself, or is this a legitimate, this will empower and strengthen the relationship? If you think it will strengthen the relationship, then I'd feel free to go. If you think it would just create harm and does not do any good, then I probably would not initiate it. But that's a great question. And I would love to, you know, I mean, back in the day, you didn't live that long. So for some of us, we have things we made choices 50 years ago, right, that we're not real proud of. Larry, for you, 70 years ago, it's tough to go back that far. All right. We're right about out of time. I'm gonna address this real quick. It seems like the church is forever debating LGBTQ+ issues. When will we finally be done with the debate? For your generation, this is a minor issue. The number of people who identify as something other than purely heterosexual is very small. Let me tell you something. For the generation that is now in youth group, the last statistic I read was 25%. Identify as something other than heterosexual. 25%. So when you phrase a question like this, the implication is that that 25% of people are irrelevant. And that will never be true in the sight of God. Amen? Because everybody is relevant in the sight of God. I think the way I would like to change the dialogue, because we dialogue poorly on the topic. The way I would like to change the dialogue is this is not for the church. This is not about attraction. It is about sexual boundaries. And those are two very different things, right? I do not live in a world where I believe the only person my wife has ever found attractive is me. I wouldn't fault her for that, but I don't live in that world. I do, however, expect her, no matter how much somebody catches her eye, to maintain appropriate boundaries. Amen? Is that fair enough? Are any of you sitting there thinking, well, I've never had eyes for anybody other than my spouse? Because I don't believe you. So if we switch it to behavior, it becomes a very different debate. And we need to empower our young people to have an open and willing conversation about it. Amen? Because if you're not willing to have an open conversation with them about it, who are they going to get their information from? The Google. You kill me, Jess. And the Google is not going to give them the same boundaries and standards that the church does. And so don't be intimidated by the conversation. It's going to happen the rest of our lives. That conversation has to happen. Frankly, the church should have been doing a better job throughout history at having the conversation simply about sexuality and sexual boundaries and what do we expect. Because we've seen the impact when sexual boundaries are crossed, right? And it has killed the church's witness. Because when people see priests in particular, what do they think right away? They think bad things. And so we need to do a better job at going back to the conversation and being willing to say, these are the boundaries I believe should exist, and this is why. I have to say, you know, it always frustrates me when I see, specifically I'll throw men, I'll throw you under the bus, when I see men act like if their son has multiple sexual partners in high school, they're proud of them. And I say to him, well, that boundary needs to be spoken against as well. I'm old school. I would not be pleased if my child decided to move in with the boyfriend or a girlfriend before they got married. I would have that dialogue with them. I would love them if they still make that choice. Amen. But they would still know my position. And my position would be very clear that the sexual boundary maintains the marriage bed and the marriage covenant. And that is where we should keep the debate, instead of ignoring it or thinking that it is going to go away forever, because it is not. Well, thank you for your questions, BK. I'm sorry you had to hear this. And I always encourage you, one of the things I remind people is I will answer the questions on Fifth Sundays, but if you send me an email, text, call me, I will always give you an answer before the Fifth Sunday too, so you don't have to wait quite so long before you come. And I'm looking forward to next week. We are starting a new sermon series, and we are going to talk, use the words that the youth gave us when they led worship, and throughout the summer talk about what is our vision. I'm also going to tell you, I'm going to be out of town for 2 weeks in August. Well, 1 week I'm out of town. The next week, I will have been traveling for 24 hours, so I felt I shouldn't preach the next day. And it's his fault, because he invited me to do a mission trip to Korea, and I trusted that having somebody who's culturally understands Korean, because your Korean is way better than mine, would be really beneficial. So I'm looking forward to that, and when we get closer to the dates, I will ask for your prayers for safe travels and for the gospel message we will be promoting there as well. Well, would you pray with me? Father, may we never lose sight of the fact that you are God of everyone, and that your love extends to all people. That, Father, when your Son died on that cross, he did not die for just one group of people. He did not die for one classification of sins, but, Father, he took them all on. As Apostle Paul writes, you did not consider sin lightly, but went for the jugular. And because of that, Father, we know we can rest in your presence, being fully redeemed by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are grateful for that gift. And Father, we ask that you would help us to share that gift with the people around us. Father, that we could faithfully proclaim that gospel message and see other people's whose hearts and minds and lives are transformed by your Son, Jesus Christ. As we close in worship this morning, Father, may your presence move mightily in our hearts so that we would be your faithful children always. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Stand as we close our time of worship this morning. We're going to sing together hymn number 345, Our Blessed Assurance, praising our Savior all day long. 345.
God's holy and beloved children, redeemed by his grace, go forward to serve him, knowing the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.
cool off. they turn the air conditioner off during the week?
No, it goes way down.
It was very humid. It probably built humidity.
Yeah, it was very humid, and yet the humidifier was out of order. The humidifier of the piano is out. So that, and is this, it feels like it has to be the organ, but is there a speaker problem? Could it be?
It could be a speaker problem, yes.
Yeah, Connie seems to think it's not the organ, but yet they said.
I would think they would be able to check. I assume they would check that as well, because it's all part of the same that system.
But the speakers up that are up in the wall.
Yeah.
No, he didn't check them. He didn't when I was here anyway.
I don't know. I
don't know if he knows how to get up to them.
Well, but I guess I kind of.
Well, that's part of
the control for that is in the organ. So I assume he could inject a separate signal into that and test that. Because the control is in the organ.
See, when I was, because the first two times he was here on his own, nobody except Barb in the office knew he was here. So the third time he came, I said, I want to be here when he's here.
Yeah.
And then he
I can't hear. What? Not because of them, I just can't hear.
He didn't want me with him. He wanted to do it on
what
his own.
I can't hear what you're saying.
I want the problem fixed.
I still can't hear you, sir. I can't hear anything out of my left ear.
And so then I did that, and
he
was checking things, but he did it as far as
well,
I knew.
On his
6-2
speakers.
Well, I wouldn't expect that.
Sorry, I can't. I can see your mouth moving. I have zero hearing in this ear.
I
about 80%
of
the
answer. Because of.
No, it's just water.
Testing, yeah, he will have instrumentation or devices that
I've tried to
put. He can put some other signal back in.
I'm trying.
Because somewhere that